What makes McGregor Road Baptist Church, McGregor Road Baptist Church? And we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have any reason to be here if it wasn't for God and the beliefs that we have founded in His Word. So we'll go ahead and get started. There is quite a few chapters and verses in this one. So I guess we'll just go through that one by one. But if someone wants to have John 14, 16 through 17 ready, Matthew 28, 19, Hebrews 9, 14, and we'll just go from there on the rest. Maybe we'll just do sword drills or something. All right, so we'll go ahead and read that paragraph of what we believe. It says, this we believe of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit is a divine person with God the Father and God the Son, and of the same nature, that He was active in the creation, that His relation to the unbelieving world consists of restraining the evil one until God's purpose is fulfilled, that He convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that He is the agent in the new birth, that He seals, endues, guides, teaches, witnesses, sanctifies, and helps the believer. So, the Holy Spirit is definitely a interesting topic, and obviously there's a lot of verses there for a reason. There's a lot that can be talked about when it comes to the Holy Spirit. So we'll go ahead and get started on that. Who has John 14, 16, and 17? Antoine?
And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But he know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and He shall be in you.
Amen. A lot there. It says that Jesus, before He ascends, is going to give us a Comforter. And I'm very thankful for that this morning, because in this world where it seems as if everything is going wrong, I don't know how people live in a peaceful state of mind or in a steady state of mind without the Holy Spirit comforting them. And as we've mentioned before, as Christians, we know how this is all going to play out. None of what's going on in the world really comes as a surprise to us, because we know how it all is going to come to an end. We know at the end, God wins. And we know where we're going to end up at the end as well. So we have that comfort, and the Holy Spirit throughout that process gives us that comfort. But for the lost and dying world, I don't know how they make it through these trying times without the Lord and without His Holy Spirit. But it says in verse 16, he shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. I'm glad that it's long-suffering, in that even though at times we quench the Spirit, that He abides with us forever and doesn't give up on us. In verse 17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You have to be saved. Amen. It's not something that anybody has. To some, the unbelievers, the lost, they may just think, when we talk about the Holy Spirit and the conviction that comes from it and stuff, I've heard people say, oh, it's just your conscience. That's not my conscience, because my conscience tells me the opposite. My conscience tells me to go steal and do what I need to get ahead in life. If somebody crosses me, to get even, that's the opposite of what the Holy Spirit does. It tells me to turn the other cheek and forgive rather than get even. So, but as it says, the world cannot receive, and they seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. So they don't understand when we talk about the Holy Spirit and effect it has on our lives. They can't understand until they come to that knowledge of Jesus Christ. But it says, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So from that passage of Scripture, does anybody have anything? Like I said, I like to open it up. It's a little bit more engaging, even though it's early in the morning. The wheels may not fully be turning yet, but for me, I always like services that are more interactive and stuff. I get kind of more out of it, but just hearing other people's perspectives, as long as it's within the Bible.
If we don't go to the Lord first thing in the morning, the devil will surely to move in.
Absolutely.
So that's why it's important for us to get up and get with the Lord and repent of whatever evil spirits are around us or within us and praise Him for this day.
Mm-hmm.
Because He gave us this day for a reason.
Yep. The Bible says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made; we will rejoice and be glad in it." So that should be us on every day. But you know, we're in the Lord's house today, so hopefully we're all here having a good attitude and ready to hear from Him today. Antoine, do you have something? Yeah, he is.
He answers back in a small place that I never pay attention, just a little stuff.
Yeah,
the time where somebody swerves in front of you and you're able to not get into a wreck, and all the times that he protects us, and at the time maybe we take it for granted and don't think much of it, but God is always, you know, the times where maybe you're 5 minutes late to work and you find out there is a wreck, and could have been you in that wreck. God protected us. Kind of back to what Miss Nancy was saying, that the Holy Spirit too will, and God will, in your morning devotions and stuff like that, He will give you what you need for the day. So you never, a lot of times you find that whatever you went over in your morning devotions is something related to what you're facing during that day, and He equipped you with what you needed to get through it. So it's pretty awesome to live a Christian life. Like I said, I guess I come from a different perspective, because even though I backslid and obviously wasn't always saved, it's just that I grew up in a Christian environment for the most part. So I really can't imagine much else. So, but I'm burdened for the loss, because I don't know how the stuff that's been happening lately with rumors of wars and earthquakes and all that, like I said before, it's opened up a lot of witnessing opportunities, because it's amazing that the world has some knowledge of the Bible, especially when it comes to like the end of times and stuff. I don't know if it's from exaggerated Hollywood movies or just completely unbiblical Hollywood movies that have kind of touched on some of those things, or where it comes from, but it is a good witnessing tool, because I've had coworkers and family members that kind of text me and say stuff like, you know, Jesus is coming back soon. I'm like, yeah, He is. Are you ready?
Yeah.
And, you know, from the way they live their lives, you know, they're probably not. So with them having that thought in their mind, hopefully it brings conviction and repentance from their sins. But it's amazing that the Holy Spirit will give us everything we need to get through our day. And press on for Christ. Who has, was there anything else anybody had on that passage? All right, we'll move on to Matthew chapter 28 then. 28:19, who has that one? Ms. Carol?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That is our commission, right? As Brother Moore pointed out, you don't see a lot of wait on the Lord and stand still in the New Testament. The local church got the bride of Christ is to go. We're supposed to teach all nations and baptize them. We're supposed to make disciples. It's supposed to be a constant thing. Not necessarily that we'll see souls saved all the time, but it's a constant thing that we should be preaching the gospel. And that's something I've been convicted about lately, is that I need to get better about that. And just I'm a little restricted at my work at times, because wearing a employee uniform and stuff like that, they don't like it too much if I try to preach the gospel to customers, because then if a customer calls in and complains that I told them they were on their way to hell, then, you know, that doesn't fare too well with my managers, especially them not being Christians themselves. So But aside from that, sometimes there are opportunities still. You know, we get on this, you know, might run into a Catholic or a Pentecostal, and you can kind of start talking about religion and things like that. And so there's definitely still opportunities, just not as often as I would hope. So pray for that, that more doors would be opened in that regard. But we do see that we have a commission, and I think Brother Moore hit on this pretty well, as far as just we need to move forward, we need to press on, and God's given us a commission and a command, and that's not something that it gets minimized depending on what we're going through in life. It's our primary objective no matter what we're going through. So
mm-hmm. packs a few more things, and then he's on his way again. But he has a routine now. So he stops in someplace in Lafayette. There's two exits that he stops at.
Right.
One or two. And one of the exits was a Muslim man that he witnessed to. And you know the course that we just took about the different religions?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's asking him, of course he knows when he talks to him, what religion they are, and he confirms that. And then he says, did you know I just took a class about all the religions? And then he goes on from there and tells them that, you know, that God was the only one that wasn't found in his tomb, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that each person that he's witnessed to so far says, what? And then he goes on from there and confirms what he's saying. And then he asks about their God.
Who is still in a tomb, yep.
And yes, and then it's interesting because, you know, he always gives a track, thank you. He always gives a track, but he always leaves them with something to think about,
mm-hmm.
you know, about our Lord, and gives them verses to look at. So,
yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes they may have a King James Bible as well. But if they don't, he's going to give them a verse to look up in the King James Bible.
Amen.
So I think it's great because you can learn. We can still learn and go out and witness about what we learned. And it's a great tool.
Absolutely. Ms. Carol?
I think what you just said about work, and you have to be careful sometimes what you say. It's not always what we say.
It's
people
what
are
doing.
Watching us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how we act.
Yeah.
I've had people actually guess what I am just by being around me.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very careful in that respect.
Yeah, it's a great testimony when you're at the store, you're out and about somewhere, and somebody comes up to you and asks you what church you go to, and they only go off of what they see, and that's always encouragement that you're doing something right, although we're not perfect and we're still working on our sanctification and everything. But if people can see Christ through us, then that's the whole idea. And we want to point people to Him. And when we witness to other religions and stuff like that, it's not coming from a place where, you know, oh, my God's more powerful than your. Well, He is, but it's not from a competitive or a spiteful conversation. It's just an educative thing. Excuse me. Did you know this about Jesus Christ? And, you know, of all the different gods out there and prophets or whatever you believe in your belief system, He's the only one that there is no body for, and it just goes to prove the
validity.
Yeah, the validity. Thank you of
the King James Bible and what it's telling us.
Yep.
What it's teaching.
Yep. And we do believe our God is the only God and the one and true powerful God, but it's not from a prideful or egotistical standpoint where, oh, us Christians, we're so much better than you. We just want to educate them so they can know the God that we know and experience the salvation that He's given to each of us. So
we just need to go out and keep witnessing.
Yep.
And spread the word.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I just cannot believe that they're still coming across people that are 60 and above that have never heard about the Lord.
Yeah.
That, amazing. That was a blessing to hear how it works.
Yeah, it was a blessing, but it was also sad to hear those things too.
Oh,
it's
yes,
like,
definitely.
And we don't have a effective witness for those of us that don't know sign language to be
right.
able to communicate that. So that's why it's great to support the LeClercs. I'm glad we're, I believe
but
we're going
to. If we run across someone who's deaf and we're trying to talk to them, we can always guide them to the LeClercs.
Yeah, absolutely. And now there's technology pieces. I don't know what they were using when they were here, but they had an app that was
yes,
able
I thought
to.
That was neat.
Yeah.
They could translate what you say to them.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there is technology is a help in that way. Although, I don't think it was fully getting across everything Luke was saying at times.
No, because we talk too fast.
Yeah.
So it can only translate what it's hearing.
You got to be slow and deliberate.
Right.
Luke?
She was just using her notepad on I think her iPhone and hitting an audio thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right.
Or text to speech or speech to text.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Word, yeah.
Didn't catch every word.
Because we speak too fast.
Yep.
And I was kind of far away from
him. Yeah.
But with the Great Commission, yeah, that's not something that, you know, even in this time of transition that we have, it's not a time to, there's nowhere in the Bible that says there's a pause point or a time of just taking it easy and getting through whatever life's throwing your way. The Great Commission is a continuous and a nonstop command that we should be obeying. My hope is when we get a new pastor that, you know, maybe his idea is coming in and just kind of easing into things, but instead maybe us church members will be like, come on, let's go. We're catch up with us, you know, as we're just seeking to follow Christ. And I hope that we prepare ourselves for that time when a new preacher comes in here and that we can just hit the ground running and just turn this community upside down is my hope with when that time comes. So we'll that's a good passage there. Great, the Great Commission there, and then Hebrews 9:14. Who has that, Miss Teresa?
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Amen. Amen. And that, I mean, in a way, the Holy Spirit does purge our conscience, right? That's what I was talking about earlier. If I listen to my conscience like the world says, well, human nature, yeah, it won't get me very far. I may end up in jail because my conscience, my heart is very wicked. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. So if I follow that, my conscience is directly linked to my heart. And if I follow just those things and they're not in line with Scripture, then I'll end up in a lot of trouble. The Bible says we should be praying to create a new heart, a clean heart. Search my heart, renew a right spirit within me. And that's something that we have to do daily because just evil thoughts and just being out in the world, sometimes that stuff can really affect you and on the dark days that we live and everything. Yep. Mine eye affecteth my heart.
And also, the sounds and just the energy around you, if it's negative, it can really affect you.
Mm-hmm.
So try not to be in an environment or an area where there's negativity, because it can really affect your whole being.
Yeah.
Not just your mind and your soul, but your whole being.
Yeah, and spiritual negativity too. I mean, sometimes being around a negative person will make you kind of start to become negative yourself, but being around a wicked or a lost person all the time, you'll also start to kind of match those patterns as well, whether you mean to or not. That's why Brother S.M. Davis had a quote that stuck with me over the years, that you are or soon will be who your friends are.
Yes.
So you need to surround yourself with godly men, and that's not to say that you can't try to have an influence on people, but if you have a friend that is not close with God, then you have to keep them at a distance. You have to make sure that they don't have an influence over you, and sometimes that's hard. But We just have to make sure we're guarding our heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If we're not protecting our heart, you know, somebody told me recently, I can't remember who it is, I think it was somebody at camp, one of the preachers was talking about, we put on the whole armor of God, and that's a very external piece of armor, right? You got the breastplate, the helmet, but that equipment does nothing if our heart's already been corrupted, if our heart's already been touched. And so we have to internally guard our heart as well. It says that, like we talked about, the world sees, I've heard people talk, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, they just see it as, that's your conscience. But again, my conscience, when somebody offends me or hurts me, is to get even, get revenge. And the Bible, the Holy Spirit says, vengeance is mine. So it's two conflicting things. If the Holy Spirit is my conscience, then I think Christians would have a worse name than they already do at times. So, let's see. Anybody else have anything to add to that, or not add, but to say about that Hebrews 9 passage? Luke?
How are we born again? By the Spirit of God.
Right.
He was born the first time by the Spirit of God, conceived by the Spirit of God, walked by the Spirit, was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. You know, his whole life was basically fully yielded and empowered by the Spirit of God. Even offering his life, you know, it says right here that he did it through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself.
Amen. It's kind of it's interesting as you go through the study of the Holy Spirit that you can't get away from the gospel during it. I mean, this verse right here is the gospel. You know, Jesus Christ offered himself, or his blood that was shed for us, and when he offered himself without spot to God, purging our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's the gospel right there, is that he died and shed his blood to save us from our dead works. Our dead works that don't accomplish anything. You know, salvation is not of works. If it was of works, then we would be able to boast and say, look at what we did. You know, I earned my way to heaven. That's one of the most foolish things you could say, is that you earned your way to heaven. That's why those who believe in works, you know, Catholicism and stuff like that is leading people to hell. And we were at a church once. We ended up having some disagreements and left there, but we were at a church once where the pastor was against preaching about other doctrines and why they were bad. You know, he didn't want to talk about what we believe versus the Pentecostals, or what we believe versus Catholics, and how dare you criticize their doctrines and their beliefs. And it's like, well, they are very effective in their witness. So if we don't know what they believe versus what the Scripture says, how are we going to win people over? Because it's not about my doctrine versus your doctrine. It's about what thus saith the Lord, and saving people from dying and going to hell. If that offends people on the way, then I think we just have to be okay with that. That's a scary thing to say.
Yeah. So what you were saying there with that pastor, you know, Jesus said that he's the Spirit of truth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do not have the Spirit of truth, you won't contend for truth.
Right. And again, like us, when we were talking about the Muslims and Brother John, it's not, when we witness to those people, we're not supposed to cut. I'm getting some weird sound up here, echoey.
Yeah.
Anybody else hear that?
Yeah.
But it's not to come at them in a hateful or aggressive manner. It's educating them and letting them know, did you know the Bible disagrees with this? The Bible doesn't say this. What you believe, it is completely contradicting the scripture, and it does lead you to a place called hell. And that's the most, the world might see that as hateful, but that's the most compassionate thing we can do, is let people know that those doctrines and those beliefs are against scripture. It's not my word versus theirs. It should be God's word versus your beliefs. If you have a contradiction there, then you have a problem and you need to address it. So, Luke. Yep. What does the Bible say? I'm faithful are the wounds of a friend, are deceitful. Yep. I think that really summarizes the church nowadays, or not true churches, but you know, there's a lot of so-called churches out there that are affirming people in their sin and saying homosexuality is okay, and living in your sin is okay, and God wants you to prosper. And those are kisses of an enemy if you've ever seen one right there. But we as believers, we need to combat that. And people may not like what we have to say, but as long as we're in line with Scripture, that's what we have to worry about. And so the Bible says that through the foolishness of preaching through the world, it's foolishness, but that's how people are saved, is letting go of logic and the things that they put their trust in and their works, and giving it over to God, realizing that we can of our own selves do nothing. And but it's really it's very interesting that going through this study of the Holy Spirit, that you can't get away from the gospel and what Christ has done for us. You know, maybe if somebody's arguing with you about the Holy Spirit or something, or questioning you about, you know, the Lord speaking to you. I know there was a time when the first Trump administration, where Vice President Mike Pence was interviewing, and he was talking about praying and talking to the Lord, and the media just went nuts and said he had mental problems and that he was hearing voices in his head, because how could you hear from God? And that, you know, We'd love to talk to you and share with you how you can hear from God, the one who created you and formed you in your mother's womb. You can have a relationship with him. That's the difference between religion and a relationship. Is religion is just, and the Bible talks about religion, pure religion and undefiled, but nowadays religion has turned into a bunch of traditions and ceremonies and stuff like that, and it's just dead. You know, what the Catholics have is religion, but they don't have a relationship with Christ.
Right.
So we have to repent to those things when we get saved. So the next passage is John 14:26. Does anybody have that? Miss Nancy?
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to you, your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Amen. So I gather that he says he teaches us all things. We should be getting our doctrine from the Holy Spirit. You know, when we're studying our Bible, or when we come to a point where we say, you know, I think I believe this, the Holy Spirit will show you. And if you're in if you're in God's will and you don't have any sin between you and God, then He'll communicate with you and let you know if that's right or not, especially if you're going to preach it. We definitely need some more conviction on those things nowadays, with all the different beliefs, even among Baptist churches, so many different belief systems. If you check that through the Holy Spirit and filter it through the Word of God, you won't have those. And it's always interesting that it's named after a man. You know, we're Christians, right? That's named after Christ. That's who we're supposed to be following. Little Christ, or Christ-like, is what that means. If you align yourself with a man named Ruckman and you consider yourself Ruckmanite or Calvinist or Russellite, the Jehovah's Witnesses, if you're following a man and you identify with a man over Christ, you probably have an issue and you probably need to go back to the scripture and make sure, filter those things through. The Baptist Church has had very many charismatic figures that have led people astray, and we had to make sure that we need to talk about it because there's men on that'll preach and say that if your church believes in this, you need to leave that church right now. I've seen videos of a guy that says if your church believes in repentance, you need to leave that church right now, and he has caused people to leave from a YouTube video, leave their church, and find somebody that agrees with that false doctrine. So if we're not careful and if we don't talk about these things and just pretend that they don't exist, then we could very well end up falling into that ourselves. And so, but the Bible says that in that passage, John 14:26, that the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, and whatsoever I have said unto you. And Luke brought it up the other day. I'm struggling to remember, but that word remember in the Bible doesn't always mean to bring something that you forgot back to memory. What was it that means?
It means, it's interesting, we're going to talk about that again today. But it means basically to mark or set as a memorial. Give a record of.
Right. So that, I mean, that's our whole Bible right there, to give a record of or a memorial that everything in the Bible is history, it's context, it's doctrine. We can glean everything that we believe in our life practices even from there. That's one of the things that I think is so amazing about the Bible, is it doesn't just tell us how to be Christians, it doesn't just tell us how to be saved, it tells us how to live a good life. So even if in the grand scheme of things the Bible wasn't true, which we know it is, but even if it wasn't, it gives us we don't lose anything. We lived a clean life, a good life, and that's the thing that sometimes I've heard preachers bring up to people when they're witnessing is, if I'm wrong, I've lost nothing. I've lived a clean, good life. If you're wrong, you're risking spending eternity in a place called hell. And that's really what it boils down to. Now we know, and I'm not saying at all, don't quote me on that, I'm saying that the Bible's not true. That's just a way that I've seen people witness to the lost. But it does put things in perspective. If you're in unbelief and you're living in rebellion, living in sin as a lost person, you have a lot more to lose than what we do. And so anything else in that, Luke?
Yeah, just
23.
but there's probably been things in your life where you forgot, like, that it happened, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Especially as I'm getting older, I forget more things. Yeah. Yeah.
But see, the thing is you didn't really forget about it. It's there in your mind, and they just brought it back up to life.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have complete amnesia that it happened. So I think that's what he's saying there, is I've spoken all these things to you. You may not have them at the forefront of your mind, but the Holy Spirit is going to bring them back to the forefront of your mind.
Yeah, and that happens very often when we're witnessing that. And when I'm talking to somebody about Christ, you know, there's Bible verses that from the youth rallies, you know, years ago that I forgot I even memorized or that I couldn't quote to you right here and now, but the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind and you can quote it verbatim, or maybe not verbatim, but give the idea or a good paraphrase of it, where the point gets across, and it's like, where did that come from? But it's really interesting, and like Luke said, sometimes though, Brother Luke, you use the analogy of teenage memory. Sometimes it's better if those just stay buried. If you're anything like me. But yeah, so that amen. That's the Holy Spirit does bring things to remembrance, and like Luke said, it's not necessarily something that you forgot, or it's just God will use things that, especially if you hide His Word in His heart, in your heart, like it says to do. That sometimes you feel like, man, I memorized all those verses in the rally, and I definitely couldn't quote them now, but lo and behold, when I'm talking to somebody, or you know, when I need it, it pops up in my mind. And it's not me, it's not my memory, it's just God using His Holy Spirit. That's why it is important. That's why we have scripture memory on Sunday nights. Even if it takes us a little bit to memorize a verse, those are important verses that we can go back to when we're talking to somebody and trying to lead them to the Lord, or even just counseling them, and the Bible will bring those verses back to your mind. Yeah, even if you can't quote it right now. So back in the rallies, at the end of the year, you could quote 90 or 180 verses. And I was looking in my Bible, and the Bible that I use was gifted to me by my parents, and it says for memorizing 180 verses. And I was like, I talked to Carly, and I was like, I don't think I could quote those now. I guess I did back then, but they're not at the forefront of my mind currently. But yeah, the Holy Spirit will bring those things to our mind at the times when it's needed, and that's a very powerful thing. And again, that's not our conscience; it's the Word of God. It's Christ indwelling in us and His Holy Spirit that's able to bring those things and use us as a vessel to share His Word. Next chapter and verse would be speaking of youth rallies. Anybody want to do sword drills? No? Okay. I was just kidding. Next one will be chapter 1, verse 35, Luke. Luke 1:35. Who has that? All right. Mrs. Nancy?
And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called.
Amen. I think sometimes when I'm praying and when other people pray, they'll pray that whoever the preacher is, that he'll be hidden behind the cross. And this, it talks about the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. That's what I hope whenever somebody's preaching, that the power of God or the power of the Highest will overshadow whoever's preaching, and that His Word will be accomplished, and that His Word would be presented as He would have it, not as a preacher. You know, that's, again, we talked about it on the what we believe of the Scriptures. One of the reasons that we follow along in our Bibles is we don't want to hear what Brother Moore has to say. We don't want to hear what Luke has to say. And that's no offense to either one of those men. I think they would agree. We want to hear from God. And if there's somebody up here that's preaching false doctrine, we need to be following along in Scripture and be able to identify that. And that's one of the whole reasons. I mean, I know of churches that don't really practice that, and it's not a bad thing. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says you have to have your Bible open when the preacher's preaching, but it's just a good practice, and you get more out of it when you're reading along and following the preacher when he's preaching. But yeah, that never really stuck out to me before when I've read this passage several times, but hopefully, even as I'm up here, I'm overshadowed by God and the Highest, and then filled with His Spirit as even we're just doing a Sunday school lesson. But yeah, it says the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, talking to Mary, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Obviously we know it's talking about Jesus and Mary. We don't worship Mary because the Son of God was born through her. Mary is a very special person in the Bible, but she does not deserve our worship. She does not deserve our praise. But she did follow God's will and what He had for her life. And for that reason, she's an example of how we can live and be submissive to Christ and what he has for our lives, but we're not to worship somebody who does that. And so I know even in Baptist churches, sometimes you put people on a pedestal or, maybe not worship, but you idolize somebody, and we got to be careful with that. So let's see. We'll try to get through the rest of these verses pretty quickly. There's, like I said, there's a lot here. The last two, there's maybe three or no more than four verses, but this one there's a lot. So we might have to do sword drills. So this next one is Genesis. What? I lost my place.
One through three.
I'll just go ahead and read that one. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." So this was something that Luke pointed out to me a long time ago. I never really thought about, but when we used to go out street preaching and stuff on Sunday afternoons, he said something along the lines of, did you know that the three persons in the Trinity are mentioned in Genesis 1? And he broke it down, and we see in Genesis 1, 2, it talks about the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So you don't have to look very far to see the three persons in the Godhead, especially the more you learn about it, the more you see how each one is mentioned quite a bit and a lot of times in the same passage. So next one is John 16, 8 through 11. You have that, brother? All right, go ahead. Amen. So Jesus Christ is going to reprove the world of sin one day and of righteousness and of judgment. I'm very much looking forward to that day. We just got to make sure as Christians we're ready for it. One verse that's been coming up a lot talking to the men and stuff like that is the passage where it talks about every idle word we'll have to give an account for. And that's something that we need to have on the forefront of our mind, because God has a record of it, and we're gonna sit and give an account for everything we've done, good or bad. You know, even Christians, even though we're not gonna get tossed into the lake of fire, we still give an account for what we do and what we don't do. Those times where the Holy Spirit convicts you to go talk to somebody and you quench that and you don't go, we give an account for that. The times where we say things we shouldn't say, we're giving account for that. So we just have to keep that in mind. Let's see, the next one is Acts 5, 30 and 32. Miss Teresa.
"The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. So it is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him."
Amen. There's the gospel again. All right. Let's see. We'll go ahead and move through these last few. John 3, 5, and 6. Who has that one? If not, I can get it. All right. Miss Nancy.
"Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit."
Amen. Gospel once again. So you can't really study the Holy Spirit and the passages that we're looking at without seeing the gospel repeated over and over and over. So next time somebody challenges you on the Holy Spirit, just maybe pull up this sheet and just go through the verses and be like, all right, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Let me share with you some things, and you'll find the gospel all throughout. let's see, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Antoine?
"In whom he also trusted after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen. I'm very, very, very thankful that we are sealed until the day of redemption, and that even as Christians, though we're not perfect, and we do still sin, we don't want to use that as an excuse. But even though when we sin, that God doesn't take that salvation away, as some belief systems believe, He seals us, and no one is able to pluck us out of our Father's hand, and that's pretty amazing. Now, God will still chasten you; He still will deal with you. The Bible says He for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and dealeth with you as with sons. But you know, we can't lose that salvation, and for that I'm extremely thankful. And I think it would be a very depressing and just very counterproductive Christian life if we could lose our salvation, because I would be having to get saved probably 4 times a day or something, at least, if I lost my salvation. And I talked to a guy about that, a Pentecostal. I won't get into that too much, but I was like, well, how do you know? Like, we sin a lot of times and we don't even realize it, and we have to ask God to bring those things to our minds. But I was like, how do you know that you, on the way over here, you didn't sin or you didn't have some sort of wicked thought and you lost your salvation on the way over here? And, you know, that's something I challenged him with. Like, God is a merciful God for sure. Mark 1:8. We may not be able to. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Amen. Well, we don't have time to get to the rest of these. There's still a few left, and we are at our time limit. But you can definitely read these on your own time. I think it was a good, refreshing time for me to go through these, and I've enjoyed our Sunday school hours lately. Like I said, nothing new, nothing profound. Just, well, it is profound, but nothing that we don't already know, just a reminder, and it's been good, so I'm thankful for it. Brother Antoine, you want to go ahead and close this?